life is light, I must appeal in simple faith to Jesus. He died, he lived, he reigns, he pleads. There's love in all
Good News Hour is with you once again, and your speaker is Johnny Horn of Atchison, Kansas, and just a reminder that this program is wholly dedicated to the glorious gospel concerning our precious Lord Jesus Christ. Now, today's broadcast will be taken up with answering a question that has come to us. Now, I shall state the question as it has come to me, and then we shall see if we can find the answer. Do men get saved by what they hear or by what they do? Now notice the question again. Do men get saved by what they hear or by what they do? Now, my opinion would be worth very little to you, I'm sure, and your opinion to me would be worth nothing more. And so we are not going to exchange our views in this matter. In other words, I'm not going to give you what I think. But what we are going to do is to give you a thus saith the Lord. You see, after all, it is a very important question, is it not? Are we saved? Do folks get saved by what they hear or by what they do? Now, there are certain things in life that if you were to miss, it wouldn't be too all important. But if you were to miss the salvation of your soul, it would be vital because it is of eternal concern. And I'm sure that not one listening in today has at some time or another faced that very question. And I should say to you that the popular thought in the minds of men and women are that we get saved by what we do. But this is contrary to the teaching of the Word of God. And so I shall, for instance, point out in the Epistle of Paul to the Romans, and of course there are other scriptures too, but if you will listen to this, it says, Romans 4 and verse 5, "But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness." Now I'm sure if there were no other scriptures in the Word of God to be found, that in itself ought to suffice. Hear it once again. "But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness." That's Romans chapter 4 and verse 5. Now I should like to put alongside of that another passage that's found in the Epistle of Titus chapter 3. And we shall read there about verse 4. "But after that the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared," now listen carefully, "not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost." I picked up a little paper the other day and passed it on to someone. I thought it was a very interesting article, and I'm sure it was, but the person into whose hand I placed it said to me, "Well, there's only one thing wrong with this little pamphlet or this little leaflet." And I said, "Just exactly what is that?" And so the person said to me, "There just isn't enough scripture." And I have lived long enough, and I have learned that after all, the thing that counts and the only thing that really does count in time for eternity is what God the Lord has to say. And of course, if men and women do not have a "thus saith the Lord," then of course you have no foundation, you have nothing upon which to rest that weary soul of yours. Now, a number of years ago, a man who heard the gospel, a clear presentation of the glorious gospel, it was a new story to him, though an old story, yet to him entirely new. After he had heard the sweet strains of the gospel for some time, he took in that message. In other words, he believed it, he made it his very own. And what it did in his life is exactly what it would do in your life if received by simple faith. And of course, this is the verse, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." And so He laid hold of it. He made it His own, and upon divine authority, by hearing and believing, He obtained everlasting life. Well, the truth is, He thought that the pastor, his pastor, would be very, very pleased to hear the news of his conversion to God. And so he said to him, "Pastor, I have some really good news to tell you." "Very well," he said, "Tom, let's have it." He said, "You know, I've been hearing some preaching from the Word of God, and the preachers have been telling that men and women get saved here and now, not by works of righteousness, not by human merit, but by simple faith in the precious shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ." In other words, by receiving Christ as their own personal Savior. And he said, "You know, I took in that message. I believed the truth of God about His Son, and now I have everlasting life." And so the preacher frowned just a little bit, and then he said, "Tut, tut, young man." He said, "You know, it simply won't last." Oh, he said, "Listen, will you, once again. You perhaps misunderstood me." Now, he said, "I shall just repeat to you what became mine, and it comes from God, and this is how it goes. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." He said, "Pastor, everlasting life is long enough for me." I wonder if you could say that. And so the truth is that men and women do not get saved by what they do. In the first place, you would never know if you had done enough to satisfy God, and you wouldn't know exactly how to begin, nor would you know exactly where to begin. You see, after all, if the salvation of God was obtained in that way, in other words, if I became the possessor of everlasting life by what I do, then of course there'd have to be something laid down in the Word of God. There'd have to be a basis by which I could go, so that I could have some assurance, some definite assurance, if I had met the claims of God in the fullest possible way. However, you see, the Word of God simply and plainly and solemnly declares that as sons and daughters of Adam's race, take for instance Romans chapter 5 and verse 6 says, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly." Now listen, if it were possible to obtain salvation by what I do, then I would have to have the capacity to do it. And then furthermore, I'd have to know whether or not God was satisfied. I'd have to know whether or not I had done enough to satisfy Him. Now, since the Word of God, then, is so crystal clear that men and women do not get saved by what they do, then exactly how do men and women get saved? Now, let's see the other side of this important question. How do we get saved? Not by what we do, but we get saved, rather, by what we hear. And you know, it's important to hear the truth of God. It's important to hear what God has to say. Now, some hundreds of years ago, practically 1900 years ago now, the Apostle Peter was sent by the Spirit of God to the household of a Cornelius. That was the first Gentile family that ever embraced the gospel, that heard the way of life and of salvation. And by the way, the man to whom we are referring, Cornelius, who had heard this message, He had done a great many things, and we are told he was a devout man, one that feared God with all his house, and gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. And you know, with all this, he needed to be saved. And this is what I want to stress now in answer to that important question, do we get saved by what we do? We have seen from the Word of God that we cannot get saved on the basis of works, on the basis of human merit, but that salvation is obtained by hearing and believing. So we're going to see now what happened when the Apostle Peter went to the household of Cornelius. He was there, and he not only was there himself, but his kinsmen and his friends, and they were there to hear what God the Lord had to say. And you remember, that's almost exactly the very way that he puts it. He says, "Now, therefore, we are all here," that's Cornelius, "present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God." Now let's get the story as it is rehearsed in the following chapter, and you turn to it and read it at your leisure. The Apostle Peter rehearses the story of the conversion of the household of a Cornelius. And this is what he has to say, among some other things. You see, Peter was reluctant to carry the gospel, but the Spirit of God bade him go, as he tells us, nothing doubting. And moreover, these six brethren accompanied me, and we entered into the man's house. Now this is what I want you to see. Verse 13 says of chapter 11 Acts, "And he showed unto us how he had seen the angel in his house, which stood and said unto him, Send men to Joppa, and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter." Now will you listen to this? "Who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved?" Now I think that's exceedingly precious. "Who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved?" Now if you want to be saved, we're here to tell you that you're going to get saved on the principle of simple faith in the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you'll hear words, I'm sure, whereby you and all your house and may be saved. Listen to this, will you? Romans 10 and verse 9, "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." Now, if you've never believed him, if you've never received him, wouldn't it be wonderful right today, right where you are, they say, "Well, thank God, I've been under the impression that I had to work my soul to save, but according to the scriptures that you have read and according to what God has to say, we are saved not by works but by words." And Paul says in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 26, "You're all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus." Trust him today and salvation is yours. We'd like to get a line from you, Good News Hour, 419 Smith Street, Atchison, Kansas. Good News Hour, care of the station to which you are listening.